Last week, senior government ministers, executives of employers' associations, and trade union leaders from Africa and Europe met in Brussels under the auspices of the International Labor Organization. The meeting culminated a three-year program aimed at building partnerships and cooperation on key issues such as protection of migrant workers, the needs of labor markets, management of labor migration, and anticipation of future migratory flows. An EU Green paper released last year estimated that between 2010 and 2030, member states' working-age populations would decline by 20 million. On the other side of that equation, the ILO estimates that by 2015, one African worker in every 10 will be living and working outside his or her country. Patrick Taran of the ILO says that, quote, labor migration has become a central challenge for development, economic progress, and social welfare, both in Europe and Africa, end quote. This March, the ILO governing body authorized the publication of a non-binding multilateral framework for labor migration that is being supported by the European Union and a large number of developing countries. ILO conventions on migrant workers provide for equal treatment and for improved legal migration avenues as a means of reducing abuses so often linked to irregular migration. According to the ILO, a significant number of migrants face undue hardships and abuse in the form of low wages, poor working conditions, virtual absence of social protection, denial of freedom of association and workers' rights, discrimination and xenophobia, as well as social exclusion. The roots of this emerging symbiosis can be found in the sans-papier movement of France. The sans-papier movement began with the occupation of the Church of Saint Ambroise in Paris on March 18, 1996. This case happens at a time when the French government has been criticized for its human rights violations by the international community. In particular, Mr. Lele Ahanhanzo, Special Rapporteur for the United Nations, had condemned the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg for improper detention of asylum seekers. Then, in the early morning of March 18th, 300 Africans, of whom 100 were children, took refuge in the Church of Saint Ambroise in order to claim regularization of their papers. 4 days later, on March 22nd, they are removed by police. After a roaming that drives them to Jappy Gymnasium, from where they are also ejected, the paperless Africans are welcomed finally in the Cartoucherie de Vincennes Theater, where Ariane Nouchkine, the theater manager, convenes a college of intermediaries. On April the 9th, 26 distinguished French personalities, intellectuals, scientists, jurists, ecclesiastics, attempt to open the way for a dialogue between the paperless peoples from Saint-Ambroise and the French government. Meanwhile, 10 of the mediators go on a hunger strike for 52 days, and the Africans take up residence in an SNCF railroad warehouse located on Rue Pajol. A long wait begins. Government has promised the intermediaries that claims for regularization will be examined with benevolence. On Wednesday, June 26, 1996, the government answer is published. Of 205 folders examined by the government, 22 are given a stay license good for a year. The rest are given a month to leave French territory. More determined than ever, the paperless Africans from Rue Pajol move, for the most part, into the Church of Saint Bernard de la Chapelle, located nearby. On Friday, August 23, 1996, at 7:30 a.m., French security forces break down the doors of the Church of Saint Bernard and forcibly evict 300 sans-papiers. The sans-papiers movement did not disappear. On the contrary, it spread beyond France to Belgium, Germany, Spain, Greece, Italy, the Netherlands, Austria, Portugal, Switzerland, and the UK, where the call for regularization of all illegal residents of Europe has received support from literally hundreds of national and international organizations. The petition states that, quote, their presence is a reality. A few tens of thousands, maybe even a few hundred thousand, are present within Europe. One might refer to them as a drop in the ocean compared to the disorder present in the rest of the world. However, this drop in the ocean is presented as a tidal wave or an insupportable movement which is used to feed xenophobia and racism. These citizens of third world countries, which are unstable or in a state of war, have chosen or been forced to come to Europe, either permanently or for a few years. Most of the time they work here, sometimes raise children here, consume here, and certain amongst them work within their community, helping to develop their immediate environment. Many of them have a major role in the support and development of their village or region, or simply in the survival of their friends and family who have stayed in their country. They contribute, thus, to the economic and cultural richness of Europe and to the development of the rest of the world. It is inadmissible, the petition states, that these people, some of whom have lived amongst us for several years, should be excluded from all that constitutes citizenship, living in permanent fear of being expelled from the country, being denied elementary rights, and being subject to the actions of all sorts of criminals, illegal employers, disreputable landlords, pimps, and so forth. End quote. Today, the movement is known simply as Pajol, after the street where the railroad warehouse that was home for the months of waiting is located. The most recent information on the European website announces a celebration for May Day 2006, posted April 1st. Meanwhile, participants at the high-level meeting in Brussels stress that unlawful migration is made worse by restrictive migration policies at odds with the needs of the labor market. As Sofiane Benhamida, a union leader from Tunisia, puts it, the solution does not lie in security, but in sustainable economic development, the absence of which is a root cause of all this migration. His view is echoed by both trade unionists and by many of the employers' representatives from African countries at the meetings. According to the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, Equality Director P. Kamalam, migrant workers are amongst the most vulnerable to exploitation and denial of fundamental workers' rights. Kamalam adds that besides campaigning for the ratification and implementation of ILO conventions on migrant workers, national labor legislation in many countries needs to be revised to conform with international standards. Recognizing the particularly vulnerable situation of women migrants, the Global Unions Organizing Campaign, launched on the 8th of March this year, pays particular attention to their organization into trade unions. If those stories still seem to have racist overtones, consider this hopeful break in the Canadian immigration case of two Roma families. After 7 long years, the Federal Court of Appeals ruled last week that the Immigration and Refugee Board showed bias when it rejected the asylum bids of the Smedja and Geza families in 1998. The court found that the IRB knew the government was concerned about rumors hinting at a large influx of Roma claimants from Hungary at the time. According to the judgment written by Justice John Evans, quote, the lead case strategy was not only designed to bring consistency to future decisions, but also to reduce the number of positive decisions that otherwise might be rendered in favor of the 15,000 Hungarian Roma expected to arrive. End quote. Judge Evans went on to note an additional bias on the part of one IRB member, Vladimir Bubrin, who not only helped to design the lead cases, but then went on as one of the board members to hear them. 2 weeks before the IRB announcement in 1999 that the claims had been refused, two leading Hungarian newspapers published stories referring to precedent-setting cases that would mean Hungarian Roma refugee claims would not be accepted in Canada. According to Ronald Lee, who teaches history of the Roma people at the University of Toronto, at the time the lead case was devised, Hungary was trying for membership in the European Union, thousands of its Roma successfully claiming refugee status based on discrimination would have looked bad. The lead case strategy worked. After the board rejected the families, the percentage of positive rulings in the case of Hungarian Romani dropped to just 9% from a high of 71% 6 months earlier in December 1998. At the same time, refugee claims by Roma from the Czech Republic, Romania, Bulgaria, Slovakia, and other European countries have enjoyed a success rate of between 60 and 80%, according to Lee. Originally from northern India, Roma have faced persecution and violence across Europe for centuries. An estimated 500,000 Roma were exterminated by the Nazis. As for the sans-papiers, their cause attracted a number of popular West African musicians playing in the Zouglou style. That music will be featured this week on Afrobeat, Wednesday at 3 p.m. right here on CJLY. Come have a listen. That's it for this Monday. This feature has been archived on the World Report website at cjly.net/worldreport, where you can get it either as a podcast or in raw MP3 format. There are also links to recommended sources of further reading if you're interested. To comment or suggest a story, send email to earthling@cjly.net, attention World Report, or to Box 767, Nelson, British Columbia, Canada, V1L5R4, attention World Report. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.